The Death of Peter by Bart Ehrman. In my previous post, I discussed the legendary account, the earliest we have, of the martyrdom of Paul. In it, I mentioned as well the martyrdom of Peter, also legendary, though better known. Many people have heard that he was crucified upside down. And I realised I may as well post on that as well, since I'll certainly be getting some questions about it. Here is what I say about it in my book Peter, Paul and Mary Magdalene, published by Oxford University Press. By the end of the first and into the second century, it was widely known among Christians that Peter had suffered a martyr's death. The tradition is alluded to in the book of 1 Clement. Because of unjust jealousy, Peter bore up under hardships not just once or twice, but many times. And having thus borne his witness, or having been martyred, he went to the place of glory that he deserved, chapter 5, verse 4. And 100 years later, Tertullian speaks of Peter enduring a passion like the Lord's, possibly referring to the tradition that Peter was crucified. This becomes the firm tradition of later times that Peter, along with his companion Apostle Paul, had been martyred during the persecution of the Emperor Nero. According to this tradition, Peter's death came by crucifixion, and in a rather bizarre manner, that he'd been crucified upside down, with his head to the ground. This tradition is later reported in Eusebius, who says that Peter came to church to Rome, where he was crucified head downwards at his own request. That's in Church History, chapter 3, verse 1. But its earliest occurrence appears in the 2nd century Acts of Peter, which tells the famous Quo Vadis story of Peter returning to Rome in order to be crucified. Peter's death in the Acts of Peter. It's one of the most interesting tales in the Acts of Peter. According to this late 2nd century collection of legendary tales, Peter had incensed two of the most powerful men in Rome by his preaching of sexual continence. The concubines of the ruling prefect Agrippa and the wife of the emperor's friend Albinus refused any longer to have any sexual relationships with them. In their pique, the men decided to go after Peter. Albinus's wife Xanthippe learns of the plot, however, and warns Peter to flee the city. He's reluctant to do so, but his fellow Christians finally persuade him. As he is walking through the city gate, however, he sees Jesus coming in. Perplexed, he asks him, "Lord, where are you going?" Or in Latin, "Quo vadis?" Jesus replies that he is going to Rome to be crucified. Peter is confused. "Lord, are you being crucified again?" And Jesus replies, "Yes, Peter, again I shall be crucified." Peter then wakes up as if from a dream, sees Jesus ascend to heaven, and realize that he must return to the city to be captured and crucified in Jesus' stead. This is Acts of Peter 35. It should not be thought that Peter reluctantly turns tail, recognizing with dread that he too must be crucified, for the text indicates quite the opposite. Peter returns to Rome, rejoicing and praising the Lord that he's to be crucified. This, for Peter, was his ultimate chance to imitate Christ and to die a glorious martyr's death. And so Peter meets up with his Christian companions and tells them his plan and urges them not to be angry with the prefect Agrippa, since this is the Lord's will. And when the moment comes, he asks to be crucified upside down. This is not because, as some later interpreters would have it, he felt unworthy to be killed in the same way as his Lord. For he himself indicates that what is meant by the upside-down crucifixion is this. It's a symbolic statement about the nature of earthly existence and our human need to look past the appearances of life to the realities that they reveal. The idea is conveyed in an address that Peter gives from the cross after he's nailed hanging upside down. He speaks to the onlookers about the mystery of the whole creation, which itself is all topsy-turvy. For when the first man, Adam, came into the world, he came head first, as do newborns. That means that Adam's perspective, as the one who brought sin into the world, was entirely reversed and upside down. That is why people seem to think that what is true is false, or what is false, true. What is right seems wrong, and what is wrong, right. What is real appears fake, and what is fake, real. All of this is because humans have reverse vision due to the actions of Adam, the first man. See Acts of Peter 38. By hanging upside down, however, Peter sees things correctly. What is to us right is to him left. What is to us up is to him down, and so forth. People need to acquire this new vision of reality in our world. Those who are in Christ recognize that the values and the priorities and loves and passions of this world are all wrong. But there is an alternative set of values, of priorities, of loves and of passions, those that come from God. Christians are to adhere to these, even though they seem opposite to what the rest of the world embraces. Peter, having said his piece, dies. In an interesting aftermath, his friend Marcellus provides for him an expensive and elaborate burial. Peter has to return from the dead to upbraid his friend for not understanding his message. Since all things are reversed, as he has just gone to lengths to explain while dying, it's not wealth that's to be valued, for example, in expensive funeral arrangements, but poverty and not death that is to be shunned, but life.